Hey there, friends. It's Nick with episode 308 of the Story Hacker podcast, and we're continuing our journey through the monomyth, through Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. And we've now left the departure phase behind us. We're into the second, the middle phase of the journey, which is, of course, the initiation. And if you're just catching up, head back to episode 301 of the Story Hacker podcast. And in just a few minutes, you can have caught up with where we are. Right, so anyway, if you're writing a screenplay, I guess we'd be at the start of Act 2 now. So the ordinary world is behind us. Something has changed and the hero, be it man or woman, has moved past the kind of the threshold guardians and crossed into this other magical world. But we're not ready yet for the big fight, the big conflict. But there's plenty of small ones. And the first part of the initiation phase of the hero's journey, and it's called the Road of Trials. And here's what Campbell says at the start of that part of the book. Once having traversed the threshold, the hero moves in a dream landscape of curiously fluid, ambiguous forms where he must survive a succession of trials. This is a favourite phase of the myth adventure and has produced world literature of miraculous tests and ordeals. And actually, he pulls out one story in particular, the story of Psyche's quest for Cupid, which you may or may not remember. I didn't remember it, but essentially Psyche is after her lover, Cupid, and Cupid's mother, Venus, is not happy and essentially gives Psyche a lot of very difficult things to do. But one of the aspects of this part of the story is that, you know, we had our supernatural help. We've got Obi-Wan Kenobi with us. We've got Morpheus. We've got Gandalf. And really, the adventurer, the hero, is learning that even though he has or she has all these trials to face, he or she also has the support, metaphorically speaking, the support of Obi-Wan Kenobi or whatever, but realistically, the support of the unconscious in this quest. So when Venus makes Psyche sort through a whole massive hill of poppy seeds and lentils and beans and what have you, ants help her. When she makes her try and grab the wool of a certain dangerous animal, you know, the plants help her. And then lastly, I think she has to get a bottle of water or something from a mountain that's surrounded by angry dragons or something like that. And an eagle helps her. So again, it's this idea that when we do these things, when we are brave, the subconscious comes to our aid. It comes to our aid. And actually what happens in that part of the book is that Campbell talks about a lot of dreams. I mean, he's very, as I mentioned before, he's very into the kind of the psychological aspect of this. And he's talking about dreams from patients in various studies. And they've got problems. They've got things that are coming up in their dreams that just hit them again and again and again. And, you know, what he's saying, actually, which I think is really interesting, is that there can be no question the psychological dangers through which earlier generations were guided by the symbols and spiritual exercises of their mythological and religious inheritance. We, as in us, today, insofar as we are unbelievers, or if believers, insofar as our inherited beliefs fail to represent the real problems of contemporary life, must face alone, or at best with only tentative, impromptu and not often very effective guidance. This is our problem as modern, enlightened individuals for whom all gods and devils have been rationalised out of existence. And what he's essentially saying there is that these stories provided us this safety net, in a sense, this kind of confidence, this narrative that we could get through. If we tried things that are hard, we could get through. And a lot of that disappeared when we stopped believing. Now, you can say, and I, you know, I'm not going to argue about it here. You can say that something like the kind of the tone of, I don't know, Disney movies or Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit or Harry Potter or something, you know, to some extent fills that gap. It shows us that, yes, there can be this road of trials, but things will be all right in the end. But of course, we know those are stories, don't we? We don't believe those things in the way that he talks about, you know, previous cultures believing their kind of stories. And I think it's, Yeah, it's an interesting point, isn't it? We are enlightened. Whether we are often healthier is the matter. And one last thing, he talks about this road of trials in the sense of it deepening the problem of the first threshold. In other words, one of the things that the hero had to do with the first threshold was put their ego aside. Put their ego aside. But he says here on the road of trials, the question is still in balance. Can the ego put itself to death? And that's really what needs to happen. The original departure into the land of trials represented only the beginning of the long and really perilous path of initiatory conquests and moments of illumination. Dragons have now to be slain and surprising barriers passed again and again and again. Meanwhile, there will be a multitude of preliminary victories, unretainable ecstasies and the momentary glimpses of the wonderful land. And that's where I'm going to leave it for today. Tomorrow, we're going to meet someone very special. So I'll see you in the next episode. Bye now.